You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to Casa. Oh man, I blew it. Casa for me. It's not Hendox on high because just like your Columbus Crew SC, a member of our team is the walking wounded. Sam, we appreciate you putting us up in your kitchen. You have all the equipment out, plus you have something attached to your leg. Are you going to be okay?
It's something from the zombie apocalypse. It's okay.
Is it? Am I going to have to push any buttons or adjust it at all? Because I really don't want to look up what's going on your foot.
Whatever. Yeah, only if I start beeping.
All right. If he starts beeping, we gotta stop down and save him. Basically,
you do that, I'm gonna run,
amputate or something. I don't know. Welcome to the Massive Report, brought to you by 180 Property Development, and we thank them for their sponsorship all year. The Massive Report podcast. 180 Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out 180propertydevelopment.com for your next projects. In the Casa Fami, we have Bart Logan, and we have Alex Stanek, and I'm Brian Phillips from CD1025. And the rest of the fellas, I don't know where they are, but we don't need them. Because we got
screw those guys.
It would just be more people talking, and we have so much to talk about because that first hell is real. If this is any indication as to how this rivalry is going to go down as we look toward the future, it's going to be filled with violence, blood, and it's just going to be weird. I don't even know where to start with that match. But my observation is this, that from our point of view, this match was a microcosm of our entire season. Yeah. It was like if you boiled down, if you fed our entire season into a computer and had it spit out a game for the 2019 Columbus Crew SC, it would be this match. You had a terrible first half where we couldn't get out of our own way. They were pressing a high line. They were harassing us all over the field. They took a 2-0 lead. We come out in the second half, and we played really pretty well. I mean, not our best, not compared to what we have been doing, but it was much improved over the first half, certainly. And then, of course, the ending was weird, and we'll get to that. I don't know. Am I missing something here, or have we seen it? It was filled at the end with stuff we hadn't seen before, and the rest of the match was stuff we'd seen certainly for the first half plus of the season anyway, huh?
It was a super weird game. I don't even know quite how to put it into words necessarily. I mean, I think a lot of what we saw in that first half was the same problems that we've been seeing all season. You had a really kind of disjointed midfield that didn't know what they were doing. We were getting really pressed, especially on the wings. Argudo, you know, as soon as he would get the ball, he would lose it. Mm-hmm. Pedro Santos would get closed down immediately, and he would try to do some sort of a play. And he would pass it to a Cincinnati player, or he would flick it to nobody, and it would just be sitting in the middle, and a Cincinnati player would get it. That first 20 minutes, we were awful.
It was very frustrating.
Some of the worst soccer I've seen all season from this team. And we've had some real lows, but that was – I mean, I remember turning to my brother and being like, this is going to be a long game. But then after maybe 25, 30 minutes into the game – they started to figure it out a little bit. I don't know if it was a couple tactical changes or if the players just kind of settled into the moment and settled into the game a little bit more and got their feet back under them. But they started to play a little bit better. I think we got a little bit lucky on the penalty from Jossie Zardes.
I don't think that was a PK. Really. I mean, well, let me put it this way. It's not entirely shocking that it was called, but more often than not, I think that kind of contact, they just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
It was pretty ticky-tack.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember I was in Nordica for the game, and what I saw, I mean, I definitely thought it was a penalty. I mean, it looked like he kind of put his arm over the guy's shoulder a little bit, and I think Zardes just felt contact and went down. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not faulting him for it. He won a penalty. Yeah. I got no problem with it, but... from their standpoint, I could see I don't know.
Yeah, it was
definitely, we'll take it.
It was definitely soft. And then second half, they came out and they looked like a different team. They had that momentum going in from the penalty at 2-1. I think the Crew locker room felt like they can win this game. And they went out and they played and they tried to do it. Got a second goal. Amazing Santos. Goal from Pedro strike. Santos.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, it looked like, okay, now since he just has to hold on. And they held on for a while until the very end of the game when all kinds of craziness happened. I don't even know. I think I want to say it was Diaz. I don't even know who it was. Whoever played that ball across the net to Zardes. It was Yunus?
Oh, yeah, Yunus.
Okay,
yeah.
It was Yunus.
Who played really well.
Yeah, coming on for Diaz.
I thought he fit right in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of put his nose right in there.
Yeah, you know,
that whole
build
up on that play was perfect.
It was a great touch from Romario Williams, too.
Yeah, it was. Everything was done right. Yeah. And then defying the laws of gravity, Jossi somehow... I could understand missing to the left, I guess. You just sort of mishit it.
Yeah.
But to hit it over... you know, like 2-3 feet from the line.
Yes.
Jossi's the only player that can do that.
I mean, it really was extraordinary to put that one over the top. I don't know how you even do that.
I am not a professional soccer player, but if I tried 20 times on that shot intentionally to put it over the crossbar or to put it into the crossbar,
could never do it.
I cannot hit the ball to get that kind of an angle on it. At a certain point, somebody just needs to sit Jossi down. They need to put their hands on his shoulders and say, "Listen, Jossi, we love you. But you need to just start passing those into the back of the net."
Simplify.
This is the third or fourth time that he has skied it over the crossbar on gimme goals. And he is a designated player. If he was a $200,000 striker, you know, if he was earning Aaron Schoenfeld 2011 money, no one is going to be mad at that. He is earning $1 million.
I take that back.
Yeah.
I would have been less mad. I would have been less
if he hadn't done it literally, I think, the week prior, too. Yeah. I mean, it keeps happening.
It's baffling. Somebody's going to have to ask him if he's what he thinks about that. Obviously, he doesn't want to do it. He wants to put it into the net.
Yeah.
Anybody would. I just don't understand, as you say, why this keeps happening. But that one was just, I don't even know how he did it.
And all of the players had their hands on their head. Like every single player, it was like when you see a World Cup game and the final whistle goes and the team's been eliminated and everybody just like falls down on their back and just like is about to cry. Every single crew player was doing that when he missed that shot. And it's going to haunt me more than that Steve Clark touch in MLS Cup 15.
No, I'm not there.
Because the thing about Steve Clark, number one, not a DP.
Okay.
Number two, I have seen that happen before. I have seen it happen where a keeper takes a heavy touch and they get, you know, punished for it. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody sky it from that close. I'm sure it's happened.
I thought the goalie had to get a finger on it. Like, if it was like that was the, I know, no. Yeah. Watching,
nobody
but, like,
touched it.
Watching live,
it
was like, no, okay, that must have been deflected straight off his arms because there's no way that could possibly. Oh, no, again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess. No, it is just. That's the thing. And that, like, I hope, you know, I'd love it if someone could sit him down and he'd do that little pass in or just finesse it in. But he is the player who he is now. You know, he isn't a young guy. He can get you some goals, but you're seeing the limitations to what he is, and that, like, he's probably not a DP striker. He is maybe in a Greg Berhalter system, but otherwise there's a reason that, you know, he's an MLS striker, and it's that he's going to miss some of those gimmies, because if he didn't, he would be further along in this. And not, you know, not to, we're not trying to, you know, pile on him on this. He had some good chances too late. I mean, just minutes after that, but still, striker, it's got to strike. And I will also say I was worried when he lined up to take that PK too.
Me too. No, 100% me too. Yeah.
And he did that darn stutter step stuff that I just...
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Joseph Martinez.
Just take it.
I want to feel confident in my striker, and I don't feel confident with Jossi Zardes. He is a source of anxiety for me.
I feel way more confident when he's between the lines for the men's national team. I feel like I'm looking at a guy, and this is totally counterintuitive, but I feel like in those matches I'm looking at a guy that's confident. And when he comes back to us, I'm looking at a guy who just seems lost some of the time.
I don't know. And do you think it's like because he feels like, especially, you know, in the absence of a Frederico Higuain, like that he has to be the guy? Is that, you know, putting too much of a sports narrative on it, trying to get in his, but like the U.S. national team, he's obviously there, and when he's the, you know, the nine, the striker, you're expected, but, I mean, that's Christian Pulisic's team. It's loaded with all sorts of other, you know, high-profile players.
Maybe.
Comes to Columbus, and with every, you know, with all the injuries
you
and everything, yeah, it's, I've got to do this. I've got to carry this team, and I don't know if that's, that might be a little bit too far reading into it, but there's something, because you're right. He does look like he's got a little bit more, I don't know if it's confidence or whatever it is with that national team, but just the ones that he's blowing, there's not a rational explanation to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Cincinnati, who is buried in last in the East, and I believe the entire league now, right? Obviously, this game was really important to them.
Yeah.
They came out and played as well as they could. Defensively, they've been very ragged this year.
Yeah.
Teton, especially at the end, is that how you say it? The goalkeeper who was
Titan
once
or something.
Titan. He was once on the Polish national team, played in the Euros, and started in 2012 when Poland hosted that event. That's a great tournament.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's nothing. But, boy, he was standing on his head at the end. They played as well defensively as they could. Santos's goal was partly their fault. They did what we've been doing all year, not closing down the space, and they paid for it. But otherwise, especially in the first half, as we saw, they harassed us all over the field. And I don't know. I haven't had a chance to really look at them that much this year. They're on their third manager now. And this guy just came from Netherlands, right? The new manager.
His name is Jan, so I'm assuming so. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's only been with them a few days, so not really a chance to put much of a stamp on the team, but you do have to give them credit. They came out, they decided that they were going to play a very physical game. I mean, Santos, that was like, Neil Sika said that he was like, he name checked a running back, Jim Brown, maybe it was, where he's got guys hanging off of him as he's. He's trying to run the ball down the field, and they're, you know, tearing him limb from limb, and the two guys get a yellow card, and one of them has to come off with a giant cut on his face. that was a microcosm of that game from a physical standpoint. These guys took it seriously.
Yeah.
There's no question. And these are two struggling clubs. One has a teeny tiny chance of getting in the playoffs. The other one doesn't. But this was their final this year, at least leg one of two.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably as well as Cincinnati can play. I don't know if you guys have seen them that much, but
I think we took their
best shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think they've got a little bit of that kind of cornered animal thing going for them right now, where they understand that their fans only care about these two games. This is the only thing that matters. And so, you know, you throw everything you have into it. Whereas I think for the Crew, you at least have the, you know, glimmer of hope that maybe if every single card falls just right, you know, you could make the playoffs. But at this point, I think we need to go down to Cincinnati and we need to get 3 points.
We may literally have to have them to have any chance. But also, from a standpoint of leaving those points on the field on Saturday, there's no question.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are an expansion team that has received no special guiding touch from the soccer dog. They're on their own.
Yeah.
You know, they're on their own to the point where I'm sure a lot of fans have forgotten they're in the league. I mean, Maddox is a nice player.
Yeah.
He played for Seattle, and I liked him when he played there. That was a good club. So that was a good get for them. But otherwise, there's not a lot there that you can get very excited about.
They signed a midfielder whose name is escaping me right now, just a few weeks ago, and he got some minutes against
Etienne?
Columbus.
He's a loaner from Red
Etienne
Bulls.
Junior.
Did we just play against him?
Yes, we did. I thought they had picked somebody else up from Europe.
Huh? Oh, Gaio. Yeah. He came on late.
Yeah.
Joseph Gaio.
So, yeah. From who was kicking around in Germany, I think, yeah. And he was somebody that had been kind of hyped up as the future of the national team at one point. He was part of that same generation with Christian Pulisic, and he had a number of really debilitating injuries and has not really been able to stay fit. And so he's been out of the national team picture now for probably 4 years plus. I'm not even sure how many caps he has with the senior team, but he was a fixture at U20 and U23.
Basically starting over now.
Yeah, starting completely over. So, you know, they're putting some pieces together, and it's going to be tough going down to Nippert and playing there. It's not a great surface, and it is a kind of intimidating environment in some weird way. It's a super old school place to play. It's like this really old football stadium, and it's weird.
How big is the pitch?
It is about the same size as ours, maybe a little bit narrower.
I think it's a little bit narrower.
I think it's regulation. They have hosted women's national team games there before. And so it's...
Do they sell beer? That's what Bart wants
they
to do.
They sell a lot of beer.
Okay, good. Because that's on campus, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
They've got a pretty decent selection of beer there, if I recall, from the last time I was there with the crew.
Okay.
Open Cup. But I remember Open Cup that I really felt like, ooh, this is a not easy place to play. But we'll have to wait and see. That's still a couple weeks away, but... They need to go down there with the mentality of we're not coming back here with anything less than 3 points, and Zardes owes us one. He needs to, you know, make it right.
Take me to the atmosphere, because it's been a while since we've seen that kind of packed house. Yeah. It reminded me of a national team game in a way, just the buzz that came through on the TV. It looked great.
Yeah.
What was the atmosphere pregame out in the parking lot, out in the plaza? Just were there altercations? Were people being friendly rivals? Was it just treated as a big party and people didn't take it too seriously? Not that you don't want to win, but you know what I mean.
Big party. I mean, that I think there are probably, you know, a handful, you know, people jokingly given FC Cincy fans crap or anything when they came around. Yeah. But, no, everybody, you know, seemed to be going, well, it was, I mean, it did. It just felt so good to have that place bumping. I thought one of the most telling, especially after the two quick goals that, you know, even earlier this year would have just basically kind of silenced things more or less in Nordic, or you would have had a couple, but there wasn't any. And that's one of those where it's like, wow, this is a rivalry game, I think. This isn't, you know, that didn't take all the wind out of the sails. We're still feeding off of just pure hatred for Cincinnati that we still got some in the tank and we're ready to keep going. And it looked like, I think the players, I think they were feeling it too. They all came over afterwards.
Yeah. I think there's a couple differences from other rivalries that I think is worth mentioning. I the way that I was describing it to someone yesterday was that it seemed to me like basically two sets of fans who were happy to be there. You know, Cincinnati was happy to be there because they, you know, were hoping to be in Major League Soccer and finally got the go-ahead and everything happened for them. And, you know, we were hoping to be here just because we thought the team might go.
Yeah.
And so it had a very kind of celebratory atmosphere, which is different from a lot of rivalry games. The mega tailgate that Nordica always has every week, there were a lot of Cincy fans kind of just walking around having a good time. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot with traveling fans from other teams, as long as they're not rivals, you know, Montreal fans or, you know, RSL fans or
FC Dallas fans, Toronto fan who doesn't know how to act in public, you know, that's kind of a different thing.
If a Chicago fan 2 years ago were to try to go to the mega tailgate, I think there could be some issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was not the case here. And actually, after the game, I was talking to a member of the front office who works kind of in security. And I was up heading out of the stadium right underneath the Cincinnati section. And she was like, oh, yeah, we already let them go. We didn't hold them back like we usually do. There's no reason to hold them back.
Yeah.
Every other supporters group, you let people clear out. You basically either escort them out first or you
hold them back.
You hold them in the section until most – everybody else is gone, and then you escort them out. They just were like, just go. It's fine. Yeah. It was that kind of an atmosphere. Yeah. The one kind of thing I saw that I thought was actually kind of funny, and everybody involved thought it was funny, is there was a dad walking out, and he was holding like a baby in his arms, and in full FC Cincinnati stuff and head to toe FC Cincinnati gear, and a crew fan behind him, when we were walking out the gate, said, "Hey, security, stop that man. He's got orange socks on." and the guy kind of like smiled and turned around and said, I'm just disappointed that you don't have yellow socks." And they both kind of just laughed. It was that kind of an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. I think that's for the best. Yeah. In the context and everything that's happened in this state the last week or so, I think that sort of puts a different kind of feel and something that can be positive. We can yell and shake our fist at Zardes mm-hmm. for missing that goal, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a game and it's for enjoyment. So if we could enjoy it on that level and not have the unpleasantness, because I certainly don't like to see it, and I know most people don't as well.
Despite the FC Cincy's social media's attempts to make it otherwise and drive that wedge between them and everything. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and now they're celebrating blowing a 2-0 lead, so it is what it is.
Well, it's cute.
One thing that I thought was really great is after the game, a bunch of players came over to Nordeca, and the first two players over there was Jossie Zardes and Artur, who was literally holding his hand. And you could just see that, like, Artur wanted the fans to know that, you know, hey, we're behind our striker. Mm-hmm. And I think Zardes immediately saw that, hey, the fans are behind him too. And the whole section, and this had actually been organized ahead of time, that Will Trapp was going to bring everybody over and we were going to sing Wise Men Say. And we always kind of wrap our arms around each other in Nordeca and sway back and forth while we sing that song, usually at 85th minute, but we did it after the game this time. And that whole team actually came over and they all put their arms around each other and swayed back and forth to the same song. And it was, we were singing to each other basically. And it was a special moment. And it's going to be something that we do every game from now on.
I like that.
It's a nice tradition.
It's a great new tradition. Yeah. And the fans want to know that the players care, and they do. And Jossie Zardes is a hell of a nice guy, and no one wants him to succeed more than I do. Well, you know, I join everyone else. But the point is not that he's not a great guy.
Yeah.
We just wish
he needs to finish.
He just needs to finish. Yeah. But that's no criticism of him as a person. For him to come over and not hide, I think that says all you need to know about the kind of man he is. Before we take a break, just a few quick notes that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Alex Cronulli, I thought that once the game got established and the two goals were already on the board for Cincinnati, I thought, especially in the second half, he looked very confident and with it to me and where he needed to be at all times and closing down balls that needed to be closed down. Am I off on that? Are we seeing improvement from him? I think playing time has helped him tremendously.
I think it's just, you know, if we look past the fact that he, you know, he wasn't the only one responsible, but boy, both of those goals, it had to split both center backs to happen. And so, yeah, if we look past that little,
but you know what I'm saying, though?
Span, no.
I felt like he didn't hang his head.
And he rebounded.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I
felt like
what's,
he played
what's
really
most important
well.
For a young player like that, especially coming off who's made mistakes and been burnt for him. And that's the other thing that's worth remembering is when you mess up there in the back four, it ends up in the back of your net, as opposed to a young player growing at striker or, you know, in the midfield, you get punished every single time you make a mistake. And for him to make, I also think it says a lot about what Caleb thinks about Alex, because among other things, they allowed Gaston Sarro to leave.
That's
this
true.
Past week.
Yeah,
so,
we haven't even mentioned that yet.
So that the confidence that he has in Alex Cronulli to also start him, and you know, yes, this is a team that isn't particularly good in the standings, but I also, you know, MLS is MLS. Any team can win any week, and then you put on top of that a rivalry game. I mean, that's a big, you know, high profile situation. He makes two mistakes, not completely responsible for him, but to bounce back the way he did, it looks strong and it's encouraging. I mean, I'm liking that. I think that's about the only silver lining in all the injuries and everything this year is young players like a Cronulli or Bubba Keita that are getting a chance to play big MLS minutes that they need to be playing, really, and we need to see that from them to see whether, and Caleb needs to see if they're going to be real, you know, real big time MLSers. And I'm glad he's getting the minutes and that he was able to put it behind him.
Connor Maloney having to play out of position there in the back. I mean, it's like, that's what we're down to, is having to play Connor Maloney at a wing back position, because we literally have no one else. And I thought he did all right, you know, considering he was pressed into a pretty rough situation, really.
Maloney was killing me. I would be trying to trade for left back tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that he's an answer. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah.
Coming into the game, I'm like, oh, boy.
I thought it was going to be better.
Did you? Okay.
I had no signal on my phone, and I tried to tweet from Nordeca, like, and I never tweet from Nordeca, but I was so mad, all caps, sub Maloney, and it wouldn't send, so I just hit send and did not lock my phone, just put it in my pocket. I'm like, you just send whenever you're going to send.
Every time.
But I need to tell people that I've had it, and it was like 30th minute.
There's a reason he hasn't been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all we need to say. I was expecting a total disaster, and I didn't think it was a total disaster. You know, I mean, that's not where he's used to playing.
So. Where is he used to playing?
Well, that's, I thought he was a forward, wasn't he?
Well, he was originally a forward, but he's been playing, or he was, I think, drafted and played forward or winger in college, but they drafted him with the intention of playing him at a wing back. And that's why, he'd been playing on the right side, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's another one where, I think, as you pointed, it speaks volumes to the fact that even given all of the injuries that have happened this season and everything, that this is now just his first start of the season and first start since 2017.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that if Caleb thought, okay, if he's going to be in the plans, he would have been getting minutes over a Hector Jimenez, you know, who, you know what you got in Hector Jimenez, but looking at evaluating for 2019 and 20 or 2020 and beyond, that said a lot, and in an opportunity that I think he needed to seize.
Yeah.
He didn't and never came close.
He's one of those guys that is a byproduct of the fact that we have the super draft, which should never be a thing, where you get these guys who are young, talented, you know, at least somewhat talented players. Then they never play. And
they never get better because they never play.
Yeah, they're exactly the same player as they were when they graduated college 3 years later. And then they go out into a game like this and they get smoked by people who have been getting regular minutes since they were 18, 19 years old. If I were Major League Soccer, I would get rid of the Super Draft tomorrow. I would never bring it back. And if these college players want to go out and play, you start at a USL team or something like that, and you get scouted and you get picked up when you're 24, 25.
So everybody's a free agent whenever it is your college days are over.
Everybody's a free agent whenever you declare. And then
that's probably pretty smart, because when you look at the whole of it, it's kind of like college baseball used to be, and I know that, especially with pitchers, it's gotten better. You find a lot of guys in the college ranks, but it used to be guys who went to college and played baseball, they were not prospects. And I think that soccer is even more that way, where you have kids that come up through academies, and you have guys like Keita, who were late bloomers anyway, and it was probably good for him to go and play college for a year. But for the most part, you know, they kind of already know who the guys are, and that's nothing to take. College soccer is great. I love going and watching Buckeye games. But as far as development for professional level at an MLS type deal and beyond, it's more hit than miss.
How many years did Stephen play at Maryland?
Wasn't that long, was it?
I don't know.
He didn't put in the full 4 years. And the other thing is goalies, you know, generally it takes longer for them to develop too. Sure. So,
But even guys like Stefan or guys like Trapp, who played for Akron. I mean, these are guys who are kind of known commodities coming out of college, and they will get picked up by teams. That's not really the case with a lot of these guys. So, you know, Maloney, I just think he's hit the Ben Sweat portion of his career where it's time that the crew cut him loose.
Well, we'll see.
But that's is that a good? Because isn't Ben Sweat playing for NYC or where was he? Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. But the reason he's playing for NYCFC is because then he went to Tampa Bay Rowdies where he got regular minutes for a couple years and then bounced back. So you got to cut these guys loose, let them get their minutes, let them develop.
Loan them out, you know? Yeah. Loan them out and let them play. All right, well, that's enough on the Cincinnati game, I guess. It was wildly entertaining. I think we'll look back on it and go, remember that first Hell is Real? That was something, wasn't it? And I have a feeling this rivalry is going to create a lot more great memories. And perhaps as soon as August 25th is
hopefully a win too at one of these points.
Yeah, that would be nice to settle it. Speaking of settling it, you only have two shots at the Trillium Cup now, the way the schedule is set up, and we're playing Toronto on Saturday. We'll preview that here in a few minutes. Also, we kind of touched on it, but when we come back, I want to get some final thoughts on Saro as he heads off to Liga MX. Another deal last week as well. We'll touch on those real quick, and we'll preview the game, and we'll remind you you can win tickets to the Toronto game from the Massive Report. We'll be back right after this. We are back on the Massive Report. Gaston Saro is on his way to Liga MX. We're sorry to see him go. We're all huge fans. He's a great human also. It tells you how long the MLS season is that, you know, it was actually this season that for a while Saro was our leading scorer. And we were joking around about, maybe he'll end up leading the team in goals for the balance of the season. But, of course, the injury bug bites, as it always does with Saro, sadly. But we have a lot of great memories from him. I know the message that he had for fans was very touching.
Yeah.
And perhaps he'll come back someday, as he said. Maybe be an academy coach or something. But
he's still tied for third.
He's still tied for third in scoring. What's his final line for the crew this year?
Well, it is a final line, 15 games, 15 starts, 2 goals, 11 shots, which is pretty impressive in and of itself, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the only so ahead of him, and you've got Giassi Zardes, Pedro Santos with 9 and 8 goals, respectively. Followed by Josh Williams, and then Gaston Saro, and then Pipa. If you want to talk about how long this season is, Gaston.
Was this a surprise that his days with the crew came to an end? I would be less surprised if the season was over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why now?
He was on a lot of money. Okay. I think that's part of it, is he was on at – I know when we signed him initially, he was on $350,000 a week. My guess is that's probably gone. Or a week, not a week, a year, sorry.
Okay.
He's not earning not earning more than Lionel Messi. Sorry about that. He was on $350,000, I think. And now he's probably was on closer to $400,000. I'm not sure what he was on. I can check next time where you guys are talking for a little bit. I can try to look that up. But I think that we just had so many talented center backs that if you're trying to clear up cap space, it's not a bad place to do it. I'm not sure that they tried to force him out. My guess is that he had an opportunity to earn more.
Okay.
And he would have basically a guaranteed starting position, and that seemed like a good fit for everybody involved.
What's that club like? Do we know anything about them? Would they be of the level that we could see Gaston play on BN TV every once in a while?
Yeah.
I would like to look for him there.
Liga MX is a better league than Major
League
Soccer.
Yeah, it is. It's a great league, but I'm talking about the team in particular. Are they a top
club? I'm checking the top club for Toluca.
He went to Toluca, so they're a very popular club.
Okay.
So they should be on Univision fairly frequently, I would imagine.
360.
Fox Deportes might. 316.
That's what he was on.
60.
Okay. So he was still basically on the same that he was earning from when he was originally signed. Toluca should be on Fox Deportes.
They
and,
are struggling
in Univision
this year, though, it looks like. But it's just.
When did their season begin?
Well, they're about to get some extra goals.
Yeah, look, exactly. They're bringing some
goals. That's what I'm talking about.
They've managed.
It's before the Gaston effect.
Four so far this season.
We need a scoring center back.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, sorry. One? This can't
there's,
be
there's
right.
There's no way they've only scored one goal.
Well, has the season just started? Are they?
Yeah. They've got the split.
Oh, yeah. So, It, okay. I mean, one goal four. So Gaston Saro doubles their goal scoring.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So I think it's a good experience for him. I'm sure he's going to be earning even more money down there than he was earning here. And I definitely get the feeling like he's the kind of guy who might want to come back. He really genuinely seemed to like living in Columbus, Ohio. You get these players sometimes who come from around the world and they come here and they don't know what to expect from America and they fall in love with it. And to me, those are always my favorite players because, you know, if you're born in Ohio, there's a 50-50 chance that you love it and a 50-50 chance that you hate it. The people who choose to be Ohioans, you know, are always kind of near and dear to my heart. So I definitely hope he comes back either as a youth coach or as a brand ambassador or something. I think he'd actually be a really good brand ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
He's a super energetic guy, really fun, very friendly. But hope he comes back. But until then, you know, best wishes to him.
Absolutely.
And I think we talked about it off. He needs to partner with Federico Higuain and create the Sauro Higuain Soccer Academy, just like the Padula Shalota one, because that's he's wonderful. And I think you are right.
You
though,
could
Alex.
Do the Pipa Padula. Ooh. Gaston PPG.
All of them.
Isn't that a paint company?
I don't know. You can do PPS. You can do
We wish him nothing but the best. We all love him. Gaston Saro on his way to
legend.
Liga of Liga.
Yep. Legend.
MX.
Crew
and
legend.
We'll try to find him on TV throughout the fall and winter as well. Nico Hansen also transferred for that TAM, $75,000 in TAM money to Houston. Any thoughts on that? Was that a surprise? We hadn't seen him a lot.
Exactly. I think anybody that you're not seeing play when you've had all these injuries, it's very telling, and it means that Caleb is seeing something that he doesn't like in practice. And Nico, it just seemed like he when they first got him, you know, 2 years ago when he was first making his first couple appearances, I remember, you know, he had that one great run down the right wing side where he just, you know, beat everybody on it. And it just looked like he never recaptured that. Maybe it was the injuries. Maybe it was, you know, just not having that you know, effort or professionalism that you're looking for. But it's a shame. But I think he Nico Hansen, it's also another example, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier with Connor Maloney, is one of those guys who's a talented college player that came through the draft, but you know, you were going to have to make something with him, and it was going to take some level, and he just didn't quite get the minutes and didn't, you know, force the issue to get himself in that lineup, because there are guys, you know, Luis Argudo is an example, a guy who's kind of in the same boat as a lot of those guys, but he's pushed the issue, and he's made Caleb Porter start him, you know, and worked his way into this and carved a niche for himself. And Nico Hansen, for whatever it was, just didn't, you know, wasn't able to mesh and create that opportunity when there were plenty of chances and he should have been pushing down the door. So it's a little bit disappointing, but not surprising. You want to clear out. You've got Luis Diaz now. He's a young player. You've got to find out what you've got from Yunus Mukhtar for the rest of the season. So it you know,
yeah, there really wasn't any
Nico,
room,
but no.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bart. I thought when he first came onto the team a couple of years ago that there was something there that I looked forward to seeing more, and I just never really saw it. So best of luck to him as he moves on to Houston. Speaking of former Crew players, here we have Toronto in eighth position fighting for their lives to try to get over the playoff line. Ditto for our favorites down in Orlando. And on Saturday, they draw 1-1. And who should come on as a sub late in the game and score the only Toronto goal but Patrick Mullins?
That's just...
of course!
That's the season. This is 2019. Oh. We are in the hell world.
Oh, didn't we want to see that? And there it is. That's a big goal for Toronto. I don't know if ultimately it's going to make any difference. I mean, New England has been playing pretty well for many weeks. They're just sitting on that sixth position. It's going to be tough for this whole gaggle of teams, and the Crew would be at the bottom of that group. that are hoping to somehow sneak into the playoffs. But just like the Crew, a draw doesn't really do Toronto any good. We're going to face a desperate team in leg one of the Trillium Cup this coming Saturday at Moffray Stadium. We already know that these games can get ugly as well. Why? I thought we were, and I think for a while we saw it this year, that we were getting a better Toronto team than we did the Hangover Club from last year. But they've kind of fallen to mediocrity again. What's their issue as you guys see it?
Well, they lost Sebastian Giovinco.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be A1, which is still kind of a head scratcher that they,
They wouldn't pay him.
Yeah, I think that's the guy that they needed to pay.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay him. Bezpachenko had left, and so he left too. You know, you've got Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley, who they built that team around, and they're a year older and, you know, a little bit slower than they were last year. And, you know, I think they're just kind of in a transition period right now. I'm not sure they know where they're going to go next season. I don't think even if they make the playoffs, they're going to be particularly impressive. But, yeah, they're probably still better than we are, so I think that's kind of frightening still.
You forgot that they added 30-year-old Omar Gonzalez.
That's true. Yeah. They did.
Yeah.
He's back, baby.
Starting center back the other night.
I like Omar.
He's a good player.
Yeah. They always need at least one on the decline U.S. national team player, so might as well get three.
Yeah.
So, you know, might as well, when in doubt, and you've got a DP slot to fill. Is he a DP?
I'm not sure. He probably is.
I would imagine they paid him a lot. I don't know. Do we? Question for you guys: do we care about the Trillium Cup even a little bit now? I never cared at all before, really. But I feel like it's somehow even more irrelevant now that hell is real.
So, yeah, I would agree. And the only reason I ever cared about it was, well, mainly it was because of the awfulness of Toronto fans.
Yeah.
As nice as Canadians are, I feel like they just empty the Toronto jail and put them all in buses and bring them down here. I had some bad experiences with people when I was working as an MC. I had a guy who probably started hitting it on the bus like 18 hours prior. And he had like that 1,000-yard stare, and he just came up to the stage and was pointing and staring at me. And then he went over and unplugged all the power for the stage. And I'm like, can someone please? And these are people that apparently had forgotten that they were in a foreign country. It's never a good idea to go to jail in a foreign country. And just the worst of the worst would come down from Toronto. And not to stereotype, but they were all just hammered and just unpleasant people. And that's where Trillium Cup means anything to me. It's like, I just want to beat these people because they're just bad people.
Yeah. And I also think that they have historically had one of the richest ownership groups, if not the richest.
Oh, God. Yeah. Are you kidding? Ever? MLSC, man.
And so they have never known true pain. You know, they've always, they may,
well, they are Toronto Maple Leafs fans.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. But I mean, well, they missed the playoffs for like 8 seasons straight, but they always had like good teams. So it was always kind of like, oh, well, you know, but we're going to be better next year because we're going to go out and we're going to spend $1 billion. It's going to be fine. So yeah, I want them to be miserable, but I feel like we're still a year or two away from that when they can't get rid of the contract of Michael Bradley and he's just kind of like crawling around that midfield and,
yeah, that's the other thing.
You don't think Daddy will take him?
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
You think that he's going to go link
up? I could see that, like, for just to get, like, dumb LA fans,
such a garver.
That is such a garver. Be like, oh, yeah, Michael Bradley, we got to bring him and unite that. And that'll be a great storyline that everyone wants the entire season.
I don't think they need the help.
I don't think so either, but it's MLS.
But this is what's going to happen is Garber's going to institute a new rule called the family relation rule where if you sign a relative, it does not count against the cap.
Basically, you get 500,000's worth of TAM to spend them down. So
but you have to sign.
It's
you
fam,
have to sign a
fam.
Fam, yeah. Fam. The Crew traded $500,000 in fan money to LAFC, and they've used it to sign Michael Bradley.
Oh, God.
You have to use it to sign a blood relative. They have to do a DNA test to prove that you are related. Yeah,
it's going to be part of a new 23andMe sponsorship deal. They're going to
Family. Bart wins the Massey Report today with his fan money. But that's the other thing. I mean, I'm like an elephant. I never forget this stuff. And Michael Bradley's words when we were at our lowest will never be forgiven, ever.
Just carrying the water.
It was bad enough that his team failed to make the World Cup. But then he comes out with that garbage. And that will never be forgiven. No. And I have secured my tickets just so I can yell at him. I'm going to embarrass my wife on Saturday. She's probably going to want to move to another section. So if anybody has a seat next to him, she may want to come and sit with you because I have a strong dislike for this person.
Maybe she should answer the trivia question.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to playing him for those reasons. I think it's going to be a good match. You've got two desperate teams. I don't think the Trillium Cup matters to anybody anymore. It's all about just where we are in the standings and just both teams desperately needing wins. Without any further ado, so we just have some score picks here. What do we got?
Ooh, Alex, go ahead.
I want to beat them just to keep them out of the playoffs. I think that would be contributing to that noble cause. Would be good, and I think the players are going to want to really show that first half was a fluke. And
we have to come out and play well in the first half for crying out loud. That's one thing we have to do, and I want to see an effort like I saw against Montreal. That's what I want to see. Or New York Red Bulls. Just come out, and it's just snapping.
Yep.
And we did not see that on Saturday against Cincinnati. Yeah. And that is of vital importance. You're not going to get your 3 points if you come out and play like the way they did on Saturday. It's just not going to happen.
And I think Zardes is going to be fired up. I think he's going to want to erase that memory completely. I think he's going to be on fire. I think we're going to win this game 3-1. I think that Toronto is the better team, but I think that we are going to want it more than they are.
And being at home helps.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're gonna still be feeling that atmosphere from Cincinnati. I don't think they're gonna get that atmosphere against Toronto, but
should be a good crowd though.
We're gonna be ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Union Appreciation Night, solidarity. I was like, you took it because I was gonna go 3-1 in Zardes brace.
Nice.
I feel like just law of statistics. Yeah. It's gotta have. He's owed some goals. Like even if he screwed up a couple of these, like. Just the two others that he had in stoppage time last week. Like, we need one coming. So he's getting it. We're winning.
It's hard for me because I don't exactly know who's going to be playing in the back. None of us really know who's going to be healthy, who's not going to be healthy.
Just put three in the back and start Romario again.
I think Patrick Mullins is going to score twice for Toronto, but we're going to beat him 3-2. How about that? Wouldn't that be kind of interesting?
That was an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I just think that would be perfect for a perfect end to August at home, all the home games this year. Patrick Mullins scoring 2 goals at Moffray Stadium, but for Toronto.
Two meaningless goals.
I think that would be rather apropos somehow. All right, so that's the way we'll leave it. 3-1, 3-1, and 3-2. It's Toronto at 7:30 at Moffray Stadium. On Saturday night, of course, if you'll just check out our social media, you can win tickets to the match from our friends at 180 Property Development. Do we have anything else to cover, or are we done?
Brian, if you get kicked out or if your wife gets kicked out, there you're both more than welcome to join the Greater Columbus Golden Boys and Girls Supporters Club / Lifestyle Brand in Section 120.
Very good. We'll do your whole spiel. It's your chance.
No, just you can follow GCG Bag on Twitter and Facebook at GCGBag96 for all the dankest memes. And you know they're dank because we're using a reference from 2015.
Can I give GCG Bag a quick shout out, by the way? So they had, I don't know whose this was. I heard it was Ethan McKinley.
The Ope?
Yes. There was an Ope 2-stick. And it was in like a like a comic book font. And it was like Ope with a big exclamation point.
Whenever you open a door, oh!
Yeah. The gigantic pullover Tifo that Tifo Sweat did was fantastic. The
so
Ope 2-stick was almost as good, maybe as good. Absolutely fantastic. So shout out to GCG Bag for always bringing the Tifo game every week. There's something new over there.
I like the Harambe. I like the baby.
The Harambe
Did you see the baby? In the diaper with the Cincinnati logo on the diaper.
Yes, yeah.
I like that one.
That was good, too.
Yeah. Well, as always, I agree. That's the fun of it, especially when you have a new team come and everyone has to sort of dig deep and come up with some new memes, so to speak. And it's always visually entertaining. So well done. We thank YA Property Development for their sponsorship of the Mass Report podcast. YA Property Development is your partner in redeveloping, remodeling, or even building your home from the ground up. Skilled builders and designers are ready to help you build the home of your dreams. Check out YAPropertyDevelopment.com for your next projects. For Alex, for Bart, for Sam, for Sam's Wound Vac. What brand is your wound vac? Do you know Acme? All right, it's an Acme wound vac. Sam is on the mend, and we thank him for engineering here at Casa Fami. Next week, we'll do this from somewhere, maybe from here, maybe from Hendox, maybe from someplace else. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we'll be back to talk crew soccer again on the Mass Report podcast next week, right here. Thanks for listening.